Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
On iOS Today, pets and your iPhone.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. Welcome to iOS Today. Talking dogs are the best. I'm Megan Maroney. This show is all about iPhones and iPads and Apple Watches. And today I am joined, while Leo is on vacation, I'm joined by Micah Sargent from iMore. Welcome back, Micah.
I'm so happy to be here to talk about all of this fun stuff. And of course, like, it's the pet episode. I'm so honored and thrilled to be here.
Well, the truth is, I mean, let's just be honest. I was like, do you want to talk about smart home? Do you want to talk about, you know, this, that? And I think it was your idea to talk about pets, was it not?
Yeah. It's time. I'm used to talking about smart home, used to talking about, I don't know, HomeKit and iOS and, pets is something that is near and dear to my heart, and now we get a chance to sort of have some fun with that and also maybe creep some people out with those videos.
Yes, exactly. This will be tech not just for people with pets, but for people maybe who want pets but can't have them and can enjoy them digitally. So,
yeah, bless your soul if you can't. I feel for you.
Yes. All right, but before we get to the pet stuff, we got to talk about the newest operating system, the newest iOS, iOS 12. I just updated my iPad this morning. I updated my iPhone yesterday. I updated my Apple Watch yesterday. I have not updated my Apple TV yet. I'm guessing it probably, maybe it updates automatically.
Yeah.
This is something I probably should know. I think it does update automatically because I did get an alert. What was that?
If you have it set up to do so, it will. Yeah, it'll update automatically. Probably. But you got an alert for
something? Got an alert that there was like a close football game last night or something. On my Apple Watch, it's like there was a TV alert and it said it's a close game. And I thought, like, do you know me at all, Apple Watch? Because I could care less.
I would be offended. No, that's interesting. I've not gotten an alert like that. Maybe it's because it knows me better.
Well, my husband was watching this game on the Apple TV earlier in
That's
the day.
Kind of
so,
kind of
but I feel like it should have known that that wasn't me watching.
Yeah. It's interesting that it got your Apple Watch involved in the process. I wonder if it's tied to the Apple TV remote or if it's tied to like an app, the Apple TV app on your iPhone or something like that. And so therefore the notifications would have carried over to your Apple Watch. But honestly, I think that's the first I've ever heard of an Apple TV prompt showing up on the Apple Watch. Cause I've seen it happen plenty on the iPhone. It's usually like, hey, type in your password by tapping on this instead of having to, you know, type it in by swiping around. So that's interesting. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Well, let me see if I still saved it because I screenshot it, of course, because I was like, this is ridiculous.
what is this? Isn't for me.
Here it is. Yeah. Here. Close game. Bears and Seahawks are close
in the Apple TV
in the fourth quarter. Yeah. So I think, well, the Apple TV is connected to my Apple ID. So when he was watching, even though he was watching it, they don't know that. So I guess that would be helpful, but like, what if you were TiVoing it or something and you wanted to, I don't know, that seems like it could be a spoiler.
Oh no. I don't know though, like with sports folks, I've heard that, and I'm probably, please, I'm sorry, I don't know, but I thought that I've seen that it's sort of like, if it doesn't happen in the moment, then they're not, if they don't like learn it in the moment, then they're not that bothered by being spoiled later.
Right.
Which is sort of different from those of us who are looking at, you know, watching movies and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I may be wrong. I'm not sure. I'm curious. Yeah, I have all notifications turned off for the Apple TV app. But yes, there is a setting in your iPhone settings for show sports scores. And I'm sure that that is probably what it is. And because you have it set up to mirror notifications from your iPhone to your Apple Watch for certain apps, then it's going to pop up on your Apple Watch as well.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if it would do it for TV. Like it would be like, someone's about to kill someone on sharp objects.
Hurry, tune in. Olivia Pope is about to have another long scree. Yeah.
Well, so what are your favorite parts of iOS 12 so far?
The notification grouping is fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things, that I don't have to sort of comb through a bunch of notifications, just like scroll. Because when that happens, I usually just end up 3D touching on the X and clearing all of my notifications. So this gives me a better opportunity to be able to see, you know, what notifications are coming from where, and enjoying, you know, just those notifications. I would probably, like, it would be very on brand for me to say that Memoji is my favorite feature of iOS 12. But the fact is, I'm disappointed. Yeah, I know. And it hurts. but I'm disappointed because, and it's a completely selfish thing, there just aren't options that make the Memoji character look that much like me. I can get one that vaguely looks like me, but when you have Bitmoji offering all of these different customizations that really do let you sort of look like yourself, and then you go to Memoji and it's like, yeah, I guess that could be you. Like if you turn your head and sort of squint a little bit, it's not what I wanted, I guess. So I'm hoping that over time they will add more options there that will make it a little bit better. Other than that, of course, Siri shortcuts, so many different features. I've been using it for a while, but they just recently in the betas added in the opportunity to tie home scenes into, so HomeKit scenes into your shortcuts. And that's been a lot of fun to play around with. What about you?
I like Memoji. Now, I don't know if my Memoji looks like me. My daughter told me the skin was darker than it should be. She told me, see, there's
I
mine.
I think yours looks like you.
You think it looks like me?
I do a lot. I think this, so to me, the skin tone looks right, but okay. I'm looking at you through like three different cameras and, you know, monitors, so who knows for sure, but yeah. I mean, to me, it looks accurate.
Well, let's hold it up to and see next.
There you go. Yeah, it's trying to get close.
Yeah, I don't know. And then this is the, like, it only gives you three versions of, like, you can be young, medium, or old. And
yes, some of them are a little frightening, right?
The old I didn't find very attractive, but I feel like maybe I need to be honest. Okay, there's you. That
there's
doesn't look
me.
Like you at all.
No.
Well, you don't. Oh, is that facial hair? Oh, so you gave yourself some
there
facial
is,
hair.
Yeah, because I do have facial hair, but it just doesn't look like me. So I've done this one. This is just like my fun character who also has a British accent. So sometimes I'll send that to people because, like, it looks nothing like me. So no one's going, they actually listen to whatever the message is instead of going, that doesn't look like you, and completely missing the message that I'm sending.
I know.
So I'm mad at Animoji, but oh well. There are people out there who found one like you that looks like you, and I'm happy for you.
Well, yeah. So here's the old one here that I gave myself. There's the.
Oh yeah, no, that's not you.
Mm-mm. And then I sent this one when I was embarrassed. I wish there were more like. yeah.
Wait, that looks like sunburn.
It does. I want. I don't know. Hopefully you can hear that. I just saved that one and I'm just going to use it whenever I need to. But you're right. I think, well, is that like your face is rather long? I mean, good
yes,
long.
Yes, that's one of the things. It's face shape. So there are a couple things. Hair was wrong. It doesn't have like the curly hair that it has. So I'm mixed. I'm black, African-American, and white, Caucasian. And the hair that's anywhere close to mine is more typical of a person who is fully black. And the mixed hair options are not there at all. And so if you want to have something that looks like curly hair, then it's very coarse, and that's not what my hair looks like. And if you want to have something that's more straight or like slick, then it ends up being too bouncy and more Caucasian. And so that's one of the things. But then yes, the face shapes are all sort of like cute and squishy a little bit. And my face is a lot longer. So I think that honestly, I'd be okay with the hair being what it is if they did have a longer face option, because I think that's the one thing that would help drive it home that it actually is, you know, that I'm trying to make it look like me.
Do you have access to your Bitmoji that does look like you?
Oh, yeah. Let me see. I'm always sending Bitmoji. So
I probably have access to your Bitmoji
too. You probably do. Yes. I mean, here, I've got it now. Well, I can't pull it up very large. Okay, there we go.
Okay, so yeah, that looks more like your face shape.
Yeah, it's a little bit longer. I think that the eyebrows are more accurate too. Mm-hmm. Oh no, that's a little blurry.
Oh, there you go.
And I think because it's like it's on the it's a little less detailed in a way, you almost get more of a give, if that makes sense. Like, okay, I can see how that's you. That's like a cartoon version of you. Anyway, that's how I feel about Memoji and Bitmoji. I'm curious how you feel, because my dogs don't have any iOS devices, so I don't have to worry about screen time with them. Mm-hmm. But I think that you do have some young humans, who maybe screen time would be a factor, or maybe for you yourself. How do you feel about screen time?
It was difficult to set up, and I still have some questions about it, because I just did it. I did it yesterday, and it immediately gave me access to two of my three kids. And I think that's because I never set up my daughter as a child for some reason.
It's like in the future, whenever we give birth, like you have to set up your daughter as a child.
So let's see if I can pull this up without giving anything away. Okay, screen time. Okay, not only you can show this now. Not only do I have two of one child, one of my other child, whose picture is of his finger, a blister on his finger, just in case you were curious about that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
That's a good look.
So here's how I set it up. I set it up for mine, downtime, 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. And so this morning, when I woke at 6:30 and did what I usually do when I wake up is open Twitter, it didn't let me. And that was kind of frustrating, but I could easily have said, oh, never mind. It said you've reached your limit, which wasn't an accurate message. I hadn't reached my limit. It was just 6:30, and I said that I wasn't waking up till 7 a.m. Let me see if I can show this on my iPad instead, because that might be easier.
Yeah, a little bit easier to see the different features. Because, I think that they still have some work to do on the wording of things. Mm-hmm. They've got some work to do on especially setup, because if this feature is going to be sort of marketed as a way for parents to help take control of their children's interaction and access to devices, it needs to be simple or they're not going to do it. Right. Like if it's too difficult, it's confusing and folks will run as fast away as they can from confusing things.
Right. And so my biggest question was, so I set up my boys and my biggest question was, will it work if they haven't updated their phones to iOS 12? Probably not, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
That was a pretty good incentive for them not to update to iOS 12.
It's interesting that you were able to even set them up.
Yeah.
Because you'd think you'd get a prompt that's like, oh, these phones need to be running iOS 12.
Yes. So it looks like, here's how I could set it up. You can show this. So I'll turn on screen time. This is what it looks like. Continue. So I already did it on my iPhone. I don't know why it's asking me to do it again on the iPhone. And I'll do, for them, I do 8:30.
Oh man, tough.
They're 13, and if I don't do that, they won't read. So like 8:30 is the reading time. And then they actually do like to read, but they forget because it's so much more exciting to be playing Minecraft or watching YouTube. So then I'll go through here and do social. So this is unclear. It's like, well, do I want all apps and categories?
It's tough.
Social networking.
It lets you show all how many categories do they pop out?
So there's entertainment, creativity, productivity, education, reading and reference, health, other. I don't even know.
See, so in my opinion, this is an opportunity for Apple to say example of each. Yes. Like if you tapped on it, it would say an example of a social networking app is Twitter. An example of an other app is settings or something like that. Because again, as a parent going to go, yes, I would like my child to have access to other apps after 8:30 because they aren't going to be jumping around in settings instead of, you know, reading a book. That maybe they'll just choose all apps and categories there and not, you know, think about it and go in deep. And maybe that's a better feature if you're trying to sort of help yourself be limited. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's I think there's some clarification that needs to be done. Although I'm sure Apple probably offers some courses at, or they will soon, like that you can go to an Apple store and learn about screen time.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I can see the difference here because I feel like it's a different time for my kids to be playing like, you know, all those games that end in IO or whatever, you know, just like the little tiny iPhone games that, in my opinion, is a waste of time. And mm-hmm. as opposed to Minecraft or even watching YouTube because they watch a ton of science videos. So, or as opposed to social networking, because I'm not against them. You know, they spend a lot of time on Google Hangouts is how they chat with their friends, not FaceTime because all their friends don't. I know.
This is so confusing. Not like just kids these days. I hate to say that, but like, it's so fascinating to me because I sort of even shouldn't necessarily be like a lot of people my age are just a little bit younger, never got into Twitter. And mm-hmm. so I'm sort of like on the cusp of being into Twitter. And so whenever I'm talking to folks my age or a little bit younger and I'm like, yeah, blah, 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 happened on Twitter. And they're like, I don't use Twitter. And it's just fascinating today, like what folks are using. Yes. And so Hangouts is an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think it's because it was easy to access on their school iPads because they use Google Classroom. So they like quickly figured it out when they were younger as gotcha. An option. And then some of their friends have Android phones, so they can't use FaceTime okay. or iMessage. And
what social networking do they do? Like Instagram, Snapchat? Or
just Instagram. I think some of their friends do Snapchat, but they haven't asked for Snapchat. So, but so they're on the, like, I encourage them socializing with their friends as opposed to not. So, whereas I feel like my 15-year-old daughter, you know, I would limit her more in Snapchat, or I would have limited her more if
but you can't mess up the streak.
I know. But if this had existed 3 years ago, but now she's 15, she's, you know, ideally she'll be out of the house at college in, you know, 3 or 4 years. So I think she's at the stage where she needs to be managing this self on her this stuff on her own. And I even discussed this with her last night because I have the feeling that sometimes she puts away her phone, but then is on FaceTime till pretty late at night with some of her friends. And, you know, it's like, I have trouble with that too. Like, that's not, you know, she sees it as,
for sure.
You know, you're stopping me from doing something. You're not giving me an opportunity to learn. But it's like, I stop myself from doing this too. Because sleep is important and you don't really know that always.
So. Oh boy, don't get me started because I will go on. Yeah, sleep is so important. So I feel like every time I come on the show, we talk about like things that, terms that younger folks use. Mm-hmm. And I just learned a term that's called Finsta. Mm-hmm. And so apparently a lot of people now they'll have their main Instagram where they post their food pics and they've post all of their like good stuff. Mm-hmm. But then they'll have something called a Finsta, which is their fake Instagram. Mm-hmm. And there they'll post like memes and things like that to where they're not crudding up their main feed with memes and other funny jokes. Did you know that term?
I did know that term, but I knew it differently.
What's wrong with me?
So I know. I mean, there's no, in the tech world, you're like as connected to the young people as me, because then I'm on the other side because I have the 15-year-old. So there's, in the tech world needs that. There's between 15 and, you know, your age, 24. Is that how old you are?
25, yeah. 25.
There's a 10-year gap that someone needs to fill there. But So the Finsta was the fake Instagram. So that was like when kids get Instagram, they, you know, they're usually pretty young and they're like, yeah, mom, you can follow me. Yeah, grandma, you can follow me. Yes, my friend's mom can follow me. And it's just like, oh, look, we're all posting pictures of our shoes and our flowers. And then when they start to get into that, which is totally normal, that age where they're pulling away from adults in their lives and not necessarily doing anything illegal.
But just wanting more privacy.
Yeah.
Right?
So then they do the Finsta, which is the fake Instagram. And
so it's like theirs. Yes. Not, okay.
And so I knew that. And so I told my daughter, you know, you're not allowed to have that. And then she put together a PowerPoint presentation why she needed that space. And so she was allowed to have it. And then I was allowed to check it at any time.
Your daughter is an inspiration.
There was a PowerPoint presentation also about getting a phone when she was 11. So,
brava. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. And letting her keep their phone in her room all night, which is what we've just recently adjusted to, which I don't know if this is the right decision, but we've done it.
Hey, Henry, you're going to need to put together a PowerPoint presentation if you want extra treats each day. All right.
But
he says he's going to work on it.
Yeah, but she has a meme account. That's what she calls it, a meme account.
Okay, too. A meme account and a regular account.
Yes.
Or a normal. I don't know. If there are terms for that. All right. Well, we're learning today. We're not on the struggle bus anymore.
No, the struggle bus was another word. That word I definitely learned from you, and that I think that we are a little bit on the struggle bus with screen time. Should we keep, let's keep going through what happens. If I'm setting the game's time limit, I'll say set app limit. Okay, apparently.
Now iOS is on the struggle bus.
Yeah. Okay, let's try this again. Okay, set downtime, set app limit. Let's try games.
Oh, scroll down maybe.
Oh, time there limit set, yeah. Set app.
See, but that's not immediately clear. No. So that's kind of annoying.
No, so I'm going to let them have 1 hour, 1 minute, time on games. Okay, I got it. So this always existed in some form, but it was just buried more deeply, the content restrictions. But I thought this was interesting. The choices, I don't ever remember seeing all of these specific choices. So you can choose the ratings.
I think they were more spread out that were available.
So I allowed explicit music and podcast and news, because, you know, explicit music, if you don't let them listen to explicit music, like, they're not going to be able to listen to anything. And the stuff that does come in is explicit anyway, because they have such weird rules.
Yeah. And lots of great podcasts are explicit and like things that you can learn from. I also think, I'm of the mind that the English language is this, well, any language, frankly, like, curse words are a part of it. And the weird sort of like, let's not ever use them, or it's bad to use them. It doesn't make sense to me personally. So yeah, I think that's a good idea, because ultimately, like, you have to learn how to communicate. And if you hear other folks using these words and you have no idea what they mean, then you're not able to communicate effectively, or at least understand effectively and sort of make those choices for yourself. So,
right. So, then we can, I'll limit them to PG-13 movies. Sometimes we'll let them watch rated R movies, but, you know, they have to ask. There's nothing wrong with that. You can go through and say the allowed apps. This was an interesting conversation. I don't know why messaging isn't in there. I guess because for content restrictions. But this was the argument.
That's interesting that CarPlay could be blocked, because to me, you'd want that, because it limits, it significantly decreases the opportunity, the chance to like look at your phone while you're driving. It's a better way to drive with an iOS device in your car.
Right.
So I wonder why you'd want to shut that off.
Yeah, that's a good question too. So yeah, it's very confusing here.
That's a lot. See, this is the thing that's sort of a back and forth for me, or rather that I'm a little bit, I don't know, again, back and forth on, is that's a lot of options. And I don't see a lot of folks, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe a lot of folks would do this, like they want to, but because there's one part of me that's like, I think that all of those things should be available. But then there's another part of me that's skeptical that people are going to make use of all of those settings. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, I mean, try to sort of imagine yourself outside of podcasting. Like if you weren't into tech podcasting, if you didn't talk about tech, if you were and you were still a parent, would you take the time to go through, like, is that a parent specific feature that you think that other parents would like? Or do you see parents maybe wanting more of like a profile, like incredibly restrictive, and, or like choose the option for fairly restrictive, or choose the option for lax? And like, it just says, we'll block, you know, incredibly restrictive just blocks everything. Normal just blocks maybe like messaging and games after a certain hour. And then lax like only blocks, I don't know, whatever, fill in the blank. Do you think that this is a feature that people who don't know about tech as well are going to take advantage of in all of this detail? Or do you think that this is maybe overkill?
Well, it really depends on what stage they're at. I think that if you're thinking, okay, I'm turning over an iPhone to my child for the first time, they're 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever age you decide, 8. And then you would go through, I could see a parent like just preparing and saying, we're going to set all this, we're going to take some time. I would hope that parents, I mean, that's what I would imagine I would have done before. I mean, that is what I did with the settings that were allowed. But I think once you've already turned it over, to go back, I think it'll be very difficult for anyone to go back into these settings. I mean, I'm already getting a pushback. And also from my kids, because I've tried all kinds of third party third party apps that help handle screen time. And if you think this is confusing, those were way more confusing, and they would have to get around everything that Apple put into the OS to keep, mm-hmm. you know, device. And so it would mess up their apps and it would, you know, crash and it wouldn't work. And so they're already feeling a little bit jaded by all the, you know, beta apps that I tried on them. So, but I think an average person probably won't. And one of the issues also is here in content and privacy restrictions is this share my location. I don't understand why that, I get that this is a privacy thing, but if you're talking about bearing, to me, this is one of the most important settings for parents. Mm-hmm. Do you want your kid to share their location? Maybe you don't. I mean, this is the big question with teenagers.
What are
beyond.
The options?
Yeah. Like, do you want to do Find My Friends? Like for me, what are the options?
Yeah. What are the
allow
options?
Or don't allow? So that
so
it just says,
it's saying then they, on their phone, they can't share their location. Is that what it does whenever you click don't allow? When you
right.
Click
like, yes.
That's doesn't make sense to me at all. I don't understand.
Well, these are, they can't do that, but these are in the parent, like, so I had to use my parent password to get in here. Mm-hmm. So, but I just think I get why they put it there, because they don't necessarily want their 9-year-old to be able to share their location. And then, you know, then it would be
because I guess you could accidentally share it with a stranger.
Right.
Okay, now that makes more sense, because I was like, why would you choose, why would a parent like on this device stop the, yeah, it just didn't make sense to me, but now I get it. Yeah, because I have the option, like if I'm in messages, I can choose the little I button and then choose share my location and then send that to somebody so they could find me, mm-hmm. and they can do, okay, now that makes a little bit more sense. But yeah, certainly that is a bit of a back and forth with, as you know, folks get older, how much the privacy should come into play in terms of their location. And there's that Black Mirror episode about the mm-hmm. child who's sort of being watched over by her parent and how that works and doesn't work for the relationship between the two of them. So yeah, it's all very interesting. And I think ultimately it's a very good thing, and it can keep, you know, keep somebody safe. But yeah, there are certainly questions, and I can understand where there can be pushback sometimes. But it sounds like you have a very reasonable, very level approach to using this technology to sort of monitor and also, you know, limit use of apps and things like that. So that's great. I can see, though, some parents who might be helicoptery, really making use of these features. And that's, you know, that's a whole nother conversation.
It really is. I mean, we didn't use Find My Friends with my kids for a long time, just because I did feel like, well, I don't want them to feel like they're in this big brother state, to get used to, like, oh, this is the way it always is. Someone's always watching you. This is the way we live. But there came to a point where it became necessary. We just changed, you know, we evolved and we thought, you know, it's nice to know where she is if we need to, not constantly. Mm-hmm. But then I will periodically look at my find my friends to look for like one, you know, maybe to look for my daughter or my sons or my husband or my dad. They're all on there. And then it, her thing will just say location not available. And I'll think,
So somebody turned on airplane mode.
Yeah, so I'll have to say to her next time she's going, you know, out with her boyfriend or something, can you turn location back on so just in case I can? And she's like, oh yeah, I don't know. And maybe she doesn't know because maybe it's complicated and I'd like to give her the benefit of the doubt, but also they can get around all this stuff and that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, I think overall that's good because I can certainly say back in my day, we didn't have anything that we could be tracked when we were out and about. And maybe there were times where my mom would have needed to know where I was and she had no way to do so and like no way to get in touch with me or anything like that. So I think that overall this technology is a good thing and ends up being helpful in parenting, but also helpful in terms of safety and security as well.
So I'm sure there are a lot more features of iOS 12. Do you think there's anything that we need to talk about right now? Because, I mean, we've just started really using it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things is like there are a lot of small things. I do want to say the one thing that I'll point out as the person who is the proxy for Apple in the household, or not even in the household, in my family, like when something goes wrong, and they're mad at Apple, then they come to me about it and they're mad at me. And I'm like, but I'm not Apple.
Wait, they can't even get my skin color right. Come on.
Right. Yeah. Whenever something goes wrong and they think it's like, they think it's going to like make me upset that it's not working or something. Like it's sort of like, you like Apple so much and now they're failing at this. And it's like, that's not how that works really. But anyway, so all of those things have me happy about the performance boosts that are taking place on older devices with the introduction of iOS 12. So your iPhone 5S, your iPad Air, all these older devices are running a lot faster and smoother. Things are launching quicker. And genuinely from the reports that I've seen and the tweets that I've seen and things like that, and also personal use somewhere. Yeah, I've got a... I think this is a 5S. This thing's running a lot faster that I just have as sort of a test device. And it's what they said is true. It's really great. And so I'm glad that Apple is doing this. And I know that part of it is sort of trying to undo the narrative that got put out there that's like, yes, when you upgrade to a new version of iOS, Apple is trying to make the phone run super slow so you upgrade. And that's not the case. And I tried to explain that to family members and things like that. But this is finally the point where I get to go, ha, see, it's working better. I wasn't lying to you when I said those things. And so that makes me happy.
Well, let's talk about the phones for a minute, too, before we get to pets.
Watch. I really would love to talk about the watch.
Yes, yeah. I would like to talk about the watch, too. Let's talk about phones first. What did you think of the phones? Or did you order one?
So we've got the iPhone XS, the iPhone XS Max, the iPhone XR. I've said this on every podcast that I've been on. I'll say it here too. The blue iPhone XR is hot, Megan. It's hot. Like it is so, so pretty. I am like vaguely attracted to the phone. It's gorgeous. And I'm mad because it's the iPhone XR. Mm-hmm. And of course I want to, like if I'm going to get the new iPhone, I want to have bigger, better, more powerful, blah, 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 blah. And it's only got one camera on the back. That said, it does offer some of the same depth functionality that you can get with the dual camera mode, because Apple is using the new neural engine in the A12 Bionic to combine to make this better processing. But like, why can't I have a hot blue phone that's also the XS or the whatever comes next? You know what I mean? Like I want to have those colors and I get it. I understand it's not feasible. You've got to have, you know, certain SKUs and blah, 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 but I'm mad about it. Regardless, I got to tell you, I'm really not even that jazzed about the fact that this is happening. On Friday, an iPhone XS Max in silver with 256 gigabytes will allegedly be coming to my doorstep. But this is the first time genuinely since I've ever been into iPhone that I'm really like, Okay. It's the 10 was such a fun phone to get. This phone is so much fun to play with. It was a whole new look and feel and shape and everything like that. And the 10S just isn't that much of an upgrade for me. And I did get some feedback. Someone was like, are you serious? You really think that the 10S and the 10S Max is for people who just got an iPhone 10? No, I don't think that. But one can only speak from their own experiences and know that those things are, you know, 99.5% true. Whereas if I'm speaking from other people's experiences, then I can only guess at those. And so in explaining how I feel about it, I am upset that the new phone is not that much newer, is not that much greater from the one that I have. But it's something that I have to have for what I do. And so I've gotten it and I am looking forward to it because, like, I have monster hands. And so when I got the iPhone 10, yes, there we go. when I got the iPhone 10 and pulled it out, I was like, oh, wow, this is really tiny. So the Max is not going to be too much of an issue for me being in my hand and I'll have more screen real estate. So I guess that's the one thing that I am looking forward to is having more screen to work with.
Well, plus you have the blue case on yours. I have the pink case on mine. Like it really, we're always going to have a case on it, right? So does the blue underneath really matter?
No, see, and that's true. And that's something that I sort of came to the realization afterward. It, like, most of the time you're not seeing what the color is, but yeah, I don't know. It's more the idea that, like, these colors exist and I really would love if Apple expanded those color options to more of its line. That said, Someone messaged me or tweeted at me to let me know, and I'm so excited. I think it's called Forest Green. There's a Forest Green leather case for the iPhone, and then they're like Forest Green watch bands. I love, green is my favorite color. I love Forest Green, and these cases are gorgeous, and I can't wait to slap that on my iPhone XS Max. So really, in the end, I'll be happy. I'm just mad because I can't have hot blue.
I know. I get it. Well, so they're Apple cases, yes, for screen. That, yeah, is nice.
Oh, so
that
pretty.
Very nice. I literally, when I was ordering and trying to decide the color, I had to take my case off because I forgot what color mine was.
Now,
I
what
was
color
like,
do
what,
I
did
have
I get space gray last night? No, that's white. When have I seen
Mine's
you
white
lately?
Too. Yeah, I have the white one as well. I never carry it without a case. So I don't know why I thought that or why I think that that matters. I don't know. Why did you choose white? Because you knew you were going to put a case on it. Like, what was your reasoning for choosing the white one?
I think I go in order. So my 6S was rose gold, which I still miss.
Oh, I miss rose so much. Mm-hmm. If that was an option, I'd have that one for sure.
And then my 7 was that 7 plus. That was the year where it was like piano black or matte black. Remember when we were all like crazy about
shiny black, whatever.
Yeah. And then I think the 8, I think I must have chosen whatever other color, maybe gold. I had the 8 in gold. I don't know. But also I choose the one Leo usually chooses first, and then I choose a different color so that we can look. But so I chose, this time I chose the space gray, but then my order date was the 24th, not the 21st. Mm-hmm. And so I told Alex at the Apple store, our friend Alex who works at the Apple store, just give me any color as long as it's Max. I don't care. Yeah. Because I'm going to put a case on it. So as
exactly.
long as whatever I can get on Friday, I want. So
on day one, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Patrick Delahanty 3D printed some mock-up. So this is kind of what.
Yeah, I got to see that on Twit, which I think was a great idea.
Yeah. So
I like it. Tennis.
I do have kind of a small hand and but. Yeah, I'm kind of looking. It's the going between the hand feel and what you can see on the screen. I think I'm looking forward to going back to making it bigger.
Yeah.
So yeah, but this does fit better in the hand.
It certainly does, and I understand folks that have smaller pockets. If they choose to keep their phone there, that is a complication for sure. And you know, I get that gripe and that complaint for sure. So it's interesting how I've heard this narrative from a lot of people this year that these phones seem to be like the least exciting that they've ever been in terms of an upgrade, even as an iterative improvement, where usually the S model has at least one thing that really, really stands out. And I think Apple tried to push that as the A12 Bionic, tried to push that as the neural engine that's built into this and the trillion processes it does on one photo and the 5 trillion processes it does on neural and machine learning and stuff like that. But this was a consumer event. Like, this wasn't WWDC. This was more focused on consumers. And I just don't think that, yes, we have an A12 Bionic that does 1 trillion processes on each photo. Isn't that incredible? Like, that doesn't translate to everyday folks. It doesn't, yeah. It barely means anything to me. And so, yes, cool. You're going to get better photos, better videos. And I'm excited about that. It's more water resistant. That's great. But convincing people to spend more than $1,000 on a phone is not ideal with just those options or sort of features that you're pushing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are your thoughts on the Watch Series 4?
Oh, that's also coming on Friday. I'm actually excited about this. So the morning of, like, 2 in the morning, to me it was like the night before, but it actually was the morning of the Apple event. I woke up in the middle of the night and I had to go to the ER. Back in December, so last year, I was watching a movie and I left the movie and I went home and for the next hour, because I thought it was just like some anxiety stuff that was going on. I was sitting in the chair in the movie theater, and the movie wasn't even like a scary or super intense movie, but I was sitting in the chair and my heart was racing so fast that it was actually making the chair vibrate. And it didn't make sense based on like how I was feeling, what I was watching, et cetera. So I was like, oh, maybe you're just having like an anxiety thing. So I was like, I'm just going to go home. I went home and periodically I checked my Apple Watch at the time, and my heart rate never went below 150 or 160. It was at 160 while I was resting for more than an hour. I was like, this is not supposed to be what happens here. So I went to the ER. It was this whole thing. It was I haven't been to the ER since I was a tiny child, so I didn't remember what it was like. So they pulled out a wheelchair. There were alarms going off. They're like, you're having a cardiac event, blah, 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 blah. It ended up being arrhythmia. My heart was out of rhythm, AFib, fun stuff. They gave me a monitor that I had to wear for a week. It was the day before my birthday. And so they were like, everybody who came in was making jokes like, oh, I bet you're really jazzed to be spending your birthday with us. Da, 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 da. I was like, oh yeah, you're not the first person to say that. You're the ninth. So I was wearing this Holter monitor, which is just like, it's got a bunch of leads connected all over you. You wear it for like a week and it does constant monitoring of your heart rate. But that meant like I had to stay at home on my birthday because I was not going out looking like a robot with my battery pack connected to me and when I was supposed to be relaxing my heart. Anywho, so we went through all of that and I had some medicine that I took for a while and it didn't end up being a huge, huge deal. Things seemed to get under control. But then that night when I woke up and went back to the ER, it had reared its head again. And so the next morning, or the morning of rather, later that day when I finally got home from the ER, I was sort of trying to make light of the situation. And so I jokingly said, what a coincidence it is that I have this heart problem for the first time in 9 months on the day that Apple is rumored to be releasing an Apple Watch that can detect AFib and is supposed to have an ECG built into it. Maybe it's like a new guerrilla marketing tactic from Apple's design team or from Apple's marketing team. But anyway, point is, this Apple Watch, the fourth generation, it's thinner. And it's like visibly thinner. I saw a photo of an Apple Watch Series 3 stacked up against an Apple Watch Series 4, and the case is visibly thinner, which I'm excited about. But it has a built-in ECG. It's partially what's touching your wrist, and then you touch the titanium diode on the crown, the digital crown of the Apple Watch, and that forms a circuit, which then is read by your Apple Watch to determine your heart rhythm. And then it can take that and it can store it and you can show that to your doctor. It also does AFib detection. So if you have arrhythmias, then it can sort of show you if you have a low heart rate or a high heart rate, it can give you alerts for those. Megan, before we break into a discussion about this, I do want to go ahead and say, because I've gotten lots of feedback this week, because I am excited about this device, I do not in any way believe, and nor am I suggesting, that this device is in any way at all better than getting a 12 or 14 lead or however many lead ECG at the doctor's office or in the emergency room. It is not the same as wearing a Holter monitor for a week that's constantly doing your ECG detection for, you know, 24/7 for a week. This is not the same thing as that. However, A, it's better than nothing, and B, it is a long-term device that you can use without having some sort of condition that requires you to then get a Holter monitor. So you don't have to go to the doctor and then they're like, oh, we need to give you this. You already have this thing. You can show your doctor what the stuff looks like. You can keep track of it yourself and you can use that information to better understand where your heart health is. So for those reasons, I think it's great. Not that I think it's actually going to replace these very expensive, very specific tools that the doctors use to, you know, check out your heart.
Maybe it can replace like us like randomly Googling our heartbeat or, you know, anxiety yes. symptoms. And, which
yeah, going like this and breathing really hard and then feeling your heart rate increase because you're having an anxiety attack and you yeah. can't. Yeah, it certainly is better than those things. Yes.
Well, I'm glad that you're okay. And yeah, I completely agree with you. It's not everything, but it is just, it enhances. I mean, it's like, you know, you still have a realtor, even though you can do a ton of your own research and look and compare and stuff before you buy a house or, you know, any of the ways technology has helped. It's not completely replacing, you know, the real thing yet.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, the other things about this watch, obviously, it's going to be running faster, battery life is better, blah, blah, blah. But it really is those things. And I do want to note, Georgia Dow is a frequent guest on this show. She's a friend of ours. We both love her. Or I love her.
I love her.
I don't want to put love at anyone else. She was talking on the iMore show about the fall detection feature of this Apple Watch. And that is nothing small. That is not something to ignore. That is not something to cast aside. This is a big deal. There are lots of folks who suffer falls who don't have anyone around to help them. And Georgia was talking about how her father had suffered a fall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had wished that there could have been a way for him to reach out a lot quicker mm-hmm. to say, hey, you know, I've fallen and I need help. Mm-hmm. And so with this fall detection feature, yes, you know, there were plenty of jokes on Twitter after it was announced with Life Alert and things like that. And there are plenty of concerns about what else might trigger the fall feature. But the fact is, I'm happy that Apple is focusing on these kinds of things. And while it may equal more sales for them, because they're going to have plenty of stories that they get to share now of more people's hearts being, you know, checked out and also more falls being saved, that's great. But at the same time, this is also potentially going to save lives. And I think that's fantastic. And so I'm happy that Apple sees the purpose of the watch now. It really does feel like it's a health and fitness focused device with some communication features, but it's not trying to be everything on your wrist. And now that they're focused on these things, they're really working hard to pack in helpful tech. And I'm hoping that the next thing we see is glucose monitoring, because I think that's a thing that can help a lot of people as well.
I agree. And I have my own fall detection story that happened yesterday to me. I coach the middle school cross country team. And my job is to bring up the rear because I'm much slower than they are. And I was running and I tripped and fell. And you're reminded, like, when you fall, like, falling is no joke. Like, it's serious. Oh. So I don't know if you can see. Colleen thinks I broke my finger. I don't know if you can see the difference between there. My husband says I did not break all that bruising there. Maybe there's a doctor watching this right now that can tell me if I broke my finger or not. It definitely feels swelled. And that's not why I'm not wearing my wedding
ring. You know, it could. Is an x-ray at the doctor's office could tell you if you broke your finger.
Exactly. But I'm still married. I just didn't want to get my my ring stuck on there. And I also have another injury. So I fell also there. You can see. Oh. my wounds. So I must have fallen, like I tripped, I fell, my fingers went down first, then my shoulder, my knee, kind of a little bit on my, like I scratched my face a little bit, but I was all alone. Like I would, the kids were way ahead and I just was like, the first thing I thought was like, I wish I had my new Apple Watch.
Because yeah, it's not, I mean, we don't, when kids fall and they're like, gummy bears.
Exactly.
They fall and they roll and they get right back up and they practically like their bodies are springy and so they just like bounce off of whatever and get rolling. But yeah, as we lose that, you know, that mm-hmm. we it becomes more impactful. And I think so my mom, she suffered a fall similar in the sense that, you know, she was just like moving and just fell on her side, but she some like 6-8 months later, she was helping somebody move. And suddenly she woke up with all this pain throughout her neck and her arm and upper body. And she went to the doctor and like, you need to go to a chiropractor. Have you like had a fall at some point? Because all your stuff is out of whack. And so like that stuff can be residual and come back later. But yeah, I mean, any fall for anybody can end up being more intense. And there are lots of people who do, you don't, it's not just for, you know, what we see as like frail elderly folks. Mm-hmm. This is helpful for anybody who might suffer a fall where they're in a place where they can't get help. Otherwise, if you're working on a roof, or if you've like in your house and you climb a ladder to do some painting or something and you fall and break your leg, like anything could happen. And to have this feature available, I think is great. And so I'm jazzed about all of this health stuff and think that it's a great addition. But it was, even though I literally upgraded to the Series 3 a couple weeks after my heart stuff in December, I am upgrading to the Series 4 again because those things are things that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, me too. And I think, I mean, I guess from a technical perspective, people were saying like, how can it know that and everything? But like, if you remember falling, like if you've fallen like that, especially, you know, when you're older and you know, it's just, it's a pretty shocking thing. Like it's a definitely a specific move that your body makes when you go, you know, head over heels. And yeah. I'm not surprised that Apple would be able to do that. I was discussing over the weekend, Rich DeMuro from KTLA was on the Screensavers and he was saying like, I wonder if it's the software or hardware. And I was saying, well, you know, it's obviously hardware because it only comes in the new watch. But he was wondering if, like, but it, there's already an accelerometer in this watch. There's already like, there's, you know, it's already in there. So I had this idea of like, I wonder if there's this data, there's already that data in that watch that I fell. Like, I'm sure that it knows, if it knows you're running. I mean, if it knows you're running, it knows you're walking, it knows you're not walking. Like, it seems like it already would know that you were falling. And I'm just,
that's
wondering.
Interesting. I hadn't considered that mm-hmm. it, you might already have, if health records adds a fall, count or something that could end up showing up. So there is a new accelerometer and gyroscope that I think are more detailed, more accurate, and potentially like the placement of them in the device may have changed. There are a bunch of reasons how the Series 4 might provide more information that's needed. It's certainly hardware and software coming together to determine. But one of the things that I'm looking forward to trying, or one of the things that I'm planning on trying, is like going to an amusement park or a theme park, depending on where you live, you might call it one of those things, and like going on a roller coaster and seeing if that were to trigger. So sort of trying to find different ways to trigger fall detection mm-hmm. and see what else might cause it to think that there is a fall. And the good thing is when you set up devices, Apple always has the thing about, do you want to send information to Apple? Do you want to send information to developers, et cetera, et cetera. If you're choosing yes on those things, Apple does a bunch of stuff to protect your data. It's differential privacy, which means that like they're getting very little bits of information from all of these different things. Point is, when these watches get out there and real falls start happening and then false positives start happening where you click cancel, no, I didn't fall, or yes, I did fall, but I'm okay. That information can be sent to Apple, which is going to improve those algorithms and make them even better. So by having falls that aren't falls, and then you say, no, don't call emergency services. If you've got that turned on to send that data to Apple, that's only going to make this technology better over time. So I think that's an exciting thing to look forward to as well with, you know, the next version of watchOS. It certainly is going to be more accurate.
Well, since I already might have broken something, I might just, when I get my watch on Friday, I might just like fall down
yes.
on purpose.
Yeah, right. Like I've had my fall, darn it.
Yeah, What could possibly else go wrong? Well, we're going to talk pets. I know we promised pets, and we are going to talk about pets next. But first, I want to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage. We talked earlier about how technology can enhance. It doesn't replace a mortgage. It doesn't replace a realtor. But it can replace a mortgage broker. Rocket Mortgage, if you've ever gotten a home, no matter how many times you got a home, the mortgage process is confusing and you feel a little powerless. And I love that Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans sort of gives a lot of that power back to you. It's simple. They have the power buying process, and here's how it works. Step one, answer a few simple questions. They'll check your credit for pre-qualified approval. Step two, Quicken Loans will verify your income, your assets, and credit, and it only takes 24 hours or less, and they will give you a verified approval, which gives you the strength of a cash buyer. Step three, once you're verified, you qualify for their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, they'll lock up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. Now, here's the best part. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate also drops. Either way, you win. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/IOS today. It's a real game changer, especially right now. We've been talking about anxiety. That can happen when you're buying a house. There's unpredictability when it comes to buying a home. Rising interest rates, it's confusing. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org. Number 3030. RocketMortgage.com/IOS today. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of IOS today. All right, pet tech. I think we should start with the Talking Pet app because
yes,
we've made people wait long enough. First, I think before we show off the app, we should show off what it can do. So yeah. I have right here. I lost it. Let's find it again.
And this app is called My Talking Pet.
My Talking Pet. And it was free the other day when I got it.
Oh, is it? Does it cost now?
Oh, yeah. It's $3.99.
Oh, is it $1.99 or $3.99? $3.99, it looks like.
Because it's so fantastic. Goodness. And let's... Okay, hold on. Let me rewind it to the beginning. This... is your dog. And
this is my dog, Henry. Mm-hmm. He is a full-bred Chihuahua.
Oh, he's so sweet. Let's see what he has to say.
My name is Henry, and I sure do wish I could like iOS today, but the fact is, I really can't. The reason is, my dad sits in front of the computer, talking to someone, instead of playing with me. But I'm a good boy, and I hope it goes well regardless. Dad, if you're seeing this, come give me a treat and a pet. Goodbye.
Oh, my goodness. You did it really well. Mine were not quite as good. But let's see if I know I was using this on my iPhone. Oh, there. Okay. Thank goodness I have it on my iPad. So how long have you had this app?
Oh, that's a good question. So I've had it for a couple years, actually. It used to be that the only way you could access it was via an... when did iMessage apps come out? Because was that iOS 11 or iOS 10?
It was 10, iOS 10.
Okay, yeah, I think so. And that it used to just be an iMessage app and you couldn't access it anywhere else and they didn't have all those extra options for built-in animals. And so you sort of took a photo of your dog, you did the little process where you mark out where, or animal, I should say, not just dog, you mark out where the mouth is, where the eyebrows are, and then you can record a message and send it with an iMessage. So I had been using it for a long time and then I tucked it away for a while. I just didn't have a reason to use it. And not too terribly long ago, I remembered there was like some joke that I wanted to make that involved one of my dogs. And so I brought it back out again. And then I saw that you were using it before we were going to be doing the show. And I was like, yes. Oh, I love this app. It's so much fun.
I love it too. I wondered if it could hear you talking because I just pressed record. It has the images already in there if you don't want to use your own dog. Let me see if it heard you. Can you hear that?
Where the eyebrows are.
Oh.
And then you can record.
Yeah, it is you.
Yeah.
Okay, there. Let's see.
or animal, I should say, not just dog. You mark out where the mouth is, where the eyebrows are, and then you can record a message. And
so I can make the tone really high Deep where voice. You can't hear it. Or really low.
Vader dog.
Yeah, kind of. And I could add a mustache to the dog if I wanted to.
You can add like heads. What am I trying to say? Hats.
Headgear,
I don't know
why
I can
yeah.
use that word. Headgear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All kinds of stuff. And the way that that's working is it's using, so it does some automatic detection of where it thinks the pet's face is. I've seen that not working as well lately. So then you just have to go in. There are like these little dots that are all mm-hmm. connected. And you go in and you just mark like the corner of the mouth, the corner of the mouth, the bottom of the mouth, the chin, the eyebrows, etc. And then it uses all that information to sort of figure out how to do movement for, there you go. Yeah, with eyes and the mouth, and uses that to figure out movement for speaking via your animal. And I think it's fun. It's kind of creepy. Some people were a little, you know, creeped out by it, but I think it's hilarious in any case. And like you said, if you don't have a pet,
you can,
and you want a talking pet, I guess, then this is a good way.
So here's what you were describing. So I here's this picture of Gilbert, and then I move the eyes here, and then here's his chin, here's his mouth. So yeah, there's three dots. Oh goodness, yeah, it's not easy, but I think that I've gotten his mouth there, and then
those need to go on either side of his head.
Yeah. And then I think I could also do pointy ears on. He said he has pointy ears.
Yes, and that would also work if you have a kitty cat.
Right. And that looks, does that
yeah,
look good?
Yeah, that's okay.
And then,
it's okay, yeah. And then you can always edit it too, folks, if you need to go back and try again.
So there it is, and then I'll record, I deserve a treat too. And we'll make it very high. Or lower.
I deserve a treat too.
Oh, that's the perfect voice.
Yeah.
Because yours is already high. So
yeah. I deserve a treat too.
I love that voice so much.
So I could edit it. Or I could give him some sunglasses.
I deserve a treat too.
He's very smart. So I wish. Oh, so I guess
you should be able to move it afterward, but it's using your placement with the little dots, unfortunately.
Oh,
but yeah, I think you should be able to edit it afterward a little bit.
And then I can save it, and I can share it through iMessage or save it, or I could send it to John's Mac Pro, which I'm going to...
I think I'll
send it to Anthony too. Why not? Hopefully their airdrop is on.
I think the thing that's most incredible about this app is, or I don't know if incredible is the right word, but the thing that's very cool about this app is the way that it goes about editing, figuring out how it needs to add different data to the photo to make it look like the mouth is moving. So you'll notice that when the mouth was opening, then it filled that space in with more black pixels. And the way that the head moves, it sort of is doing an automatic detection to sort of fill in the space as it moves the head around. That's no small thing. Like that's a complicated thing. Anybody who's ever been in Photoshop and done like a content-aware fill or content-aware scale knows that that's kind of a difficult thing to do. So I was honestly surprised that the app was free. Now that Megan and I have been talking about it on Twitter, that's why it costs money now,
exactly.
Of course.
Well,
but
I heard about it because I follow a Twitter account called AppSliced. And I think it was AppSlice, and they said it was free just for the day. And so
So maybe it's cost recently.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
But Yasmin, we were discussing this yesterday, and I just wanted to let you know, cause she works at Google, and you sent her the iOS link, but that it also,
that was nice of you. You sent the Android link.
So, and hers is one of my favorites. So you can use cartoon dog. I don't know if this is a picture of her real dog, but I got to play this cause it's amazing.
I'm a cartoon dog. Cartoon dog, yes I am. I'm a cartoon dog, yes I am.
I have a feeling that her daughter drew that because that is her dog.
Okay.
And I think that that's either her or her daughter right next to the dog. That's adorable.
It really is.
You can use, I mean, I'm not going to suggest this because you could upset somebody, but you can use human faces in the app as well, which I have done before with my mom and she thought it was funny. So
it was good. I love it. Okay, so what do you have?
What do I have?
Do you have something?
Oh, next? Yes. I was like, I can.
I know you were not feeling well, so if you have nothing, I have stuff.
No, I do. Yeah, let me pull it up here. This is the Pet Cube camera. It is one of it's the newer model that is not cube shaped anymore. It's a pretty big rectangular one. It's got a hopper on the top. So you pop, let me see, I'm going to undo this here. Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum. You pop treats into the hopper.
Oh.
And then it comes with an app where you can keep an eye on your dog with the camera here. But then it also shoots little treats out of here. And it's got a microphone and a speaker. So that way you can both talk to and see your animals. And I think the most interesting thing is that, well, not, I think it's an interesting addition. It works with Amazon's Dash replenishment services. Mm-hmm. And so when the treats are running low, it can detect that and it can automatically order new treats for you. So that's the Pet Cube camera, and it's a lot of fun. So you put it kind of low, obviously. It has spots on the back for you to mount it on the wall, and it's got a USB-C charger, which I find is kind of interesting. Like it's powered by USB-C. And yeah, you can talk using the microphone, and you can choose how far the treat flings. So you can do like close to you, very far across the room, or somewhere in the middle. And it will make a noise. So the dog starts to get used to the noise and knows like, oh, dad's on the treat cam. Time for me to go and like get ready. And then, you know, the dog will come and then you see the dog, you can talk to the dog and then you can fling the treat when you're ready. So it is, I think, an improvement. Oh my Lord. this video that's playing. That's what you do. You do the treat cam instead so that the dog's not pulling oranges off of the table. But it's a fun little way to interact with your dogs, but also just to keep an eye on them. Because like I have I've got some home kit enabled cameras in my house and, you know, looking out of my house and things like that, but they're higher up. And so it can be sort of more difficult to see where the dogs are. They can maybe trigger because of the dogs. And so this is a camera that sits lower and it's sort of looking right eye level on where my dogs are walking across the floor. And so I can always tune in, make sure they're A-okay when I'm out of the house, and also give them treats, which they're always very thrilled about.
Do you use the Amazon Dash replenishment service?
Yeah. Because it was interesting that one of the treat options that came with the camera, because they do give you a little packet of them, were ones that I had already used as training treats for them that I'd already used as training treats with them in the past. And so I was like, oh yeah, I'll just keep ordering these whenever it runs out. So it's got, like I said, it's got a little sensor in it, and it's once the treats get past that level, then it just automatically orders it and it comes via USPS or whatever shipment service is next.
That's nice, because I have the Be More coffee maker that's, it's connected to an app, and I used the replenishment service, and then I just got way more coffee than I needed. And it was just kept coming and coming and coming, and I don't know. I'm sure I could adjust it at some point, but then I tried to turn it off in my Amazon Subscribe and Save, and I thought I had it, and it kept coming. Finally, I figured out how to turn it off.
Oh, that's stressful. Yeah. You just have like 15, 20 pounds of coffee in your house.
But it didn't know, like, it's not like that where it can't detect, really.
Oh, it was just doing it every couple of weeks or something like that.
Well, I guess I assumed it was doing as many times as I made coffee, but I don't know why it didn't know that I didn't need that much coffee.
Yeah, that's not ideal. No. Yeah, this is actually detection. And this is a little off topic, but I'm actually currently testing a product that's coming out soon that works with Amazon's Dash replenishment service, that has a bunch of sensors built into it that as you take from it, like pantry items, so like fruit snacks or coffee pods or what have you, when it gets past a certain level, then it will trigger another order. But it does it not based on time or anything like that. It's just like, when it drops below this level, then go order me some more. And I like that. I think that that's a smart way to handle it, to where you don't have to think about it or worry about it. But certainly I've done some subscription services from Amazon before, like my dog's food. And I had to stop because they just were not eating enough of it. So I had six of these gigantic bags of dog food just sitting in my closet.
I know, it's when Amazon Subscribe and Save goes wrong. We have a whole show just about that.
Yeah, seriously.
You make a good point. I've considered the Pet Cue because I have the Amazon Cloud Cam and also the Wyze Cam Pan. And I like both of them, but the dog doesn't really go anywhere. I try to put it in a place where the dog might be, and I will talk to the dog through both of them sometimes, but it's not the same as having treats.
It doesn't bring them, right?
Yes. So the Wyze Cam is $39.
Whoa!
The pan, yes.
Oh, that's okay. That scared me. I was like, it's falling. Oh, that's cool that it pans.
Are you panning that from your app over there, John, or it's just doing it automatically? Oh, no. Okay.
It's R2-D2.
No, when it sees motion, it usually pans, but I just wanted to make sure that wasn't.
Oh, that's neat.
Okay, he says it's not you. It's not him.
It's actually me. I've hacked you.
I like it.
It's only $30.
It's only $30, and they have a cheaper one that doesn't pan. That's only $20.
So both the thing moves and the camera inside moves.
Yes. Yes. And the only complaint I have is that it's a little bit loud. I mean, mostly if you're just doing a podcast, it's loud. You've never heard of the Wyze Cam?
I guess I'm not wise. I've never heard of the Wyze Cam.
So it's not, you know, from some place where like the reason it's cheap is because, you know, they're sending all your information to the FBI right. or anything like that. They've done some fancy stuff with the way they ship it. And so if you buy it from Amazon, it's going to be a little bit more. I think it's going to be a little bit more, but then you don't have to pay for shipping. So I think if you buy it from Amazon, it's the same price, but it's $29.99 without shipping. So it's a little bit more, but not too much. And so it does, you know, will recognize the movement of your pets. And you should get yourself one.
That's inexpensive. That's great.
Yeah. And, you know, it will work with your Amazon Echo. And it's a great starter camera. Because, I mean, the Pet Cube is, how much is the Pet Cube?
I can't remember. Expensive.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm distracted by the most adorable dog in this video, and I just can't. My heart is just swelling. It's so sweet.
So, the Wyze Cam or the Wyze Cam Pan, and I know I haven't spoken to them, but Stacey Higginbotham from, you know, Stacey on IoT, she spoke to the makers and talked to them about why it's so cheap, and that was where I got the information about this.
Okay, yeah, because that is something that we certainly are quick to ask, like, okay, so what are you doing? Why does it only cost that much?
Yeah, exactly.
But it looks rather simple. I imagine that it's not, super, super, super high quality video, or what does it shoot? Do you know?
That is a good question. Let me look at the website. It is not bad.
While you're looking, the Pet Cube is 1080p. 250. Oh, 10. Wow. Okay.
Full
wow.
HD.
Interesting.
Yeah. Works with.
Okay. Gift. That's wow. I'm gonna have to look into that then for sure. The Pet Cube costs $250. It's a pricey device. Mm-hmm. But it's got a bunch of mechanics stuff built into it in order to fling those treats across the room. So I think that makes sense for what it is and what it does with having options to both talk to your animal, have your animal make noise back at you, or if you have the rare talking animal, talk back to you. And then also to be able to, you know, see them with the camera and fling treats at different levels across the room. So $250 is pretty reasonable. Especially because there are lots of security cameras that cost that, but don't offer treat flinging. So,
and the other camera I use, the Amazon Cloud Cam, which, you know, it works with the Amazon Key service, which I don't know if the Amazon Key service is great for people with pets, because I would always be afraid that I mean, I would never use it because my dog would, not like anyone coming in.
Yeah. Nope. Not something I could ever be okay with. I'd be so, nope, not a good thing.
Yeah. So, but it's a decent camera. It works, with your Amazon Echo. It's $119. But it is, and it's usually on sale, you know, set alert if you have been thinking about it. But yeah, it's good video. The other thing that we discussed before doing this show was a piece of pet tech that I recommended the last time we did pet tech on here, but I don't know that I can continue to recommend. I still have it. It's the Whistle 3, which goes on a dog's collar, and I tried it with Gilbert, and we put it on his harness because he doesn't really wear a collar, and right. Immediately he went running through the bushes and it tore right off his collar. Like, it just flipped off. And then I don't remember if the battery ran out, but we couldn't find it. Like, it was lost in the forest, which is, you seem like, if I couldn't find the device, then...
Then you couldn't find your dog.
Yeah, exactly. We knew the dog came back. The device did not come back. So they said it was, they said they've improved the harness on here, and this is a new one, which I haven't used. And we discussed this because he never really wears a collar. And
yeah. So
you
this
have
is
some
a-
stories about collars too.
Yeah, that's correct. So this is kind of a big thing. A lot of folks, I think, don't necessarily know this, but it's not actually recommended that you keep a collar on your dog when they are just in the home, or they're in your backyard that's like fenced in, or in other places where you aren't around, or when you're not around to monitor them. And the reason why is because collars are a safety hazard. I had an acquaintance of mine. They had let both of their dogs out into the backyard, and they ran to the store right quick. And when they came back, unfortunately, one of the dogs had gotten its collar caught on a fence, and it had suffocated. And when I heard that story and I saw someone had commented who was a pet trainer, they're like, oh, you know, just for the, like, you know, of course, saying all the things like, I'm really sorry that happened. And, you know, I just want you to know that for the dog that you still have, it might be a good idea. Like, you're really not supposed to keep collars on the dogs whenever they're not out and about. You're not taking them on a leash somewhere. So at that point, I stopped keeping collars on my dogs. And so, yeah, with something like the Whistle that's supposed to be there, it can be kind of difficult. But yeah, I have harnesses for them as well. And I could see clipping something like the Whistle onto their harness whenever we're out and about. But the fact is, like, it's very rare that I'm not near them in situations where they can get loose and run away. And it would be hard to, like, find a time when that would make sense and I would have a collar on them, if that makes sense. Like, it just doesn't add up for me to need that tracking feature, to need those, you know, the Whistle. But maybe, like, if you've got like a hunting dog or something like that, or a dog that's well trained, and so you do let, like, go out in front of you and sort of be out of line of sight, I think that's where something like this could be handy, as long as it stays clipped on the harness or what have you. But yeah, if you keep a collar on your dog, that's something to consider. That, you know, if you just have your dog in your house just hanging out, you know, not doing anything that requires having a collar, it might be a good idea to not keep the collar on the dog.
And so, yeah, keeping a collar when you are out on a walk, I think, is a good idea, just in case. So I think this is designed for walking and, you know, tracking how much exercise they get out. So I totally get that. Mike in the chat room says you need to put collars on your dogs. What if they dig under the fence? If your dog is a digger, mine isn't. My dog doesn't want to go anywhere where right. we aren't. And he's usually, when we're not there, he's usually inside. But I totally, I get it.
Yeah, there are reasons to, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not going to suggest that I know anything better about how someone, you know, takes care of their animal. I just know for me that with my dogs and how, and the behavior that I know of them, I would rather that I don't come home to a dog who has gotten caught somewhere on something in my house or outside of my house because I kept the collar on them. Mm-hmm. And apparently it is a thing that's recommended against by lots of different organizations, like that you are not supposed to whenever they're just in the house or what have you. But yeah, certainly I won't presume to suggest that you do anything with your dogs that you don't want to. So, yeah.
And, the whistle was recommended to me by our supervising producer, Colleen, who uses it with her husky, who whose main job is to run away from their house. he does it like it is his job. He's a beautiful, sweet dog, but they've had a lot of use with their
Mizzy. So. Mizzy is, she's an opportunist. So she is fine in the backyard hanging out. She's fine in the house hanging out. But if that front door stays open for too long, she's just decided that she needs to go feel out the neighborhood. But the funny thing is, and I don't understand, this works every single time. It has never failed. And I've done it all the times that she's ever run away. She will go run away. I'll just go into my garage. I'll get into my car. I will, of course, check to make sure that she has not just stayed by the house. It's usually after she's run a little bit down the street. I come out. I literally just open the door of my car, like the passenger seat, and say, "Missy, do you want to go for a ride?" And she just comes running right to the car. And then I drive back into the garage and close the garage door, and she's back inside. So luckily, like, it's nothing that I'd need a whistle for. But yeah, in those situations, like, it would be good if there's a caller, because that would have her tags on it that says, yes, I have had my shots, and yes, I've had this. And, you know, now they tattoo dogs, and they've been doing it for a while, but anytime you go get your dog spayed or neutered, they tattoo them so that a vet doesn't have to open them up to determine if the dog is spayed or neutered. There's just like a little purple mark or blue mark or whatever color your place is using that shows that. And then, of course, you've got some people will, you know, put the chip inside the dog. Both of my dogs are chipped, and so they can find out about the animals that way. But yeah, it's nice to have those for folks who don't have a chip reader or something like that, who are looking for where your dog or where the dog belongs.
Absolutely. Any other pet tech?
Yeah, I was going to mention one more thing, and this is, again, I have a review up on iMore from a while back. It's called Poof, the Poof Pet Tracker. And it was pretty much just a vanity post where I could just have photos of my dogs wearing these Poof pet trackers. But, no, I did do a review. It is an activity tracker, and it is a way to, it was kind of neat using the app. You can get suggestions on like how much food you should feed your dog based on how much activity they've gotten in a day. And so this would have been back in the time whenever I still was keeping, you know, a collar on them. And so I had it on them in their house. I had it on them outside. They're running around. It shows like, oh, this is how much activity they're getting. This is how much sleep we think they're getting. Here's the calories that they're burning. Here is how much food you should feed them based on that. But I think one of the coolest features of it was that just like, is it the, oh, there's a Bluetooth tracking device that is pretty popular. I think is it the Tile? It might be the Tile.
The Tile or the tracker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with folks who have Poof pet trackers, those will be used to help you find your dog if the dog ever gets lost. So you can put out a search on the app, and then other people's Poof pet tracking apps will sort of ping looking for your Poof pet tracker around and can help you find your dog. So I think it's a pretty neat thing. Absolutely. And I think the title of this was like, it makes helicopter pet parenting possible, because it was like, oh, now I know that Mizzy is sleeping this much, and I know that Henry is running around this much, and it would be great if Mizzy got a little bit more activity, and, you know, figuring out all of those things. It was nice to have that for sure.
Well, I think we've sadly reached the end of our pet tech, unless you have anything else you want to talk about.
Nope. That's going to cover it for me. You should mention that one bit of pet tech that you have that will be good for not making a whole lot of noise in your home. Huh?
So I bought this thing on Amazon. I don't have the link. So let's see if I can find it with Gilbert. And you can see he's licking his lips. and tearing it up pretty quickly. And it made a little swishing sound. So that might have been at a tone that only he could hear. But he immediately destroyed it. So it wasn't that useful. And I wish I could remember the name, but it was, oh, there it is. The Here Doggy.
How's that spelled? H-E-A-R?
H-E-A-R.
Okay.
If anyone has has a toy that can squeak for a dog that a dog can hear, but not a person, please let me know. Because the hear doggy was, I don't know if it was, there we go. Hear doggy, small whale, ultrasonic silent squeaker toy. Gilbert can't really talk. I can make him talk, but he can't really talk. So I don't know if it was just the like, shh, shh, the sound, but he did turn. But I guess it's a...
Oh, interesting. They've got the frequencies there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My dog, Henry, he loves squeaky toys as well. And one time I found this toy that was packed to the gills with squeakers. It was like eight different squeakers in it. It was so funny because it's way bigger than him. And I was trying to take a photo of him and I could not get him to sit still while I was taking the photo. So it's this like really blurry photo of him with this gigantic squeaker toy filled with eight different squeakers inside. And he just loved it. He ended up, of course, ripping out every single squeaker and then chewing on them until they broke. And then I had to throw them away. So he successfully killed all of the little squeakies, but he loved it.
I love it, but then they don't last for very long and they get eviscerated. And it's a little bit disturbing to watch Gilbert like tear all the stuffing out. You know, you can just imagine.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally going for their predatory instinct. They think that it's like a live animal and that's why it's squeaking and they have to kill it. And when you think of it like that, it takes all the cuteness out of it.
Mm-hmm. It's true. All right, now it's time for us to wear our hats and talk about our app cap. So we wear caps.
Yes.
Because cap rhymes with app. And it doesn't have to match your app.
Okay.
But this is our favorite app that we've been using this week. And quick change. Oh, that's amazing.
Thank you.
That's a hair cap.
So I did say I was going to wear a wig next time I was on iOS today. So I'm holding true to that promise.
It's really nice. I bet you could get your Memoji to look like that.
I probably could. So this cap is for a, not cap, this wig is for, I play on the Uncomparable Network. That's one that's Jason Snell's, a Dungeons and Dragons podcast. Oh. And so there was a character whose name was Bob Joe, and he was sort of this old man. And he talked like this, and he had this wig, and it was a lot of fun. But anyway, I, of course, had to keep the wig. And here I am wearing it on iOS today.
Is it white or is it blue?
It is white. It does look blue in the camera. They're like silver kind of, but it is white.
Because I was thinking mermaid, not old man, but I mean, you could do either. Now that's better. Yes.
Ah, luscious locks.
Oh, there you go. There we go. Yes.
Fly, you fools.
What's the Dungeons and Dragons podcast called?
It is Total Party Kill is the name of the podcast, but a bunch of different games are played on it. And the one that I was playing is called Gamma World. Okay. So yeah, if you want to check that out, Total Party Kill on the Incomparable Network, and you can listen to plenty of actual play Dungeons and Dragons podcasting there with lots of funny folks, I think.
There it is.
Yes, that's the one. And the, like I said, the that's Elgath's Angels. So the one that I was on was called Gamma World, and we just finished publishing all of the episodes, so they are there. There's my clampy hand. It was a lot of fun, so certainly feel free to check that out. And you can also follow 3BobJoe, that's the number 3, BobJoe on Twitter, if you want ridiculous insights from Bob Joe from Gamma World.
I will do that.
Excellent.
You got the hair flip down.
Yes.
So, okay, what's your app?
All right. So, as I mentioned, I've been having all of these horrible issues with allergies lately. And there is an incredible app that I just downloaded. It's very simple. It's called Pollen Pro. And it uses your location. So let me see if I can sort of like not show my exact location here. And
sorry, I should have downloaded all these.
Actually, I don't think I sent it to you ahead of time, so that's my fault. It will show you a pollen count for where you are. And right now you can see it's very sad because there's a medium-high pollen count in my area. And so that means that it's going to make things terrible for me. But it's also got a forecast for what pollen is going to be like coming up, and it tells you the allergens that are in the air at the time. Also, it'll give you a place to sort of put in, there it is, it'll give you a place to sort of put in your, so my pollen forecast and my pollen forecast pro. I'm bougie, and so I don't like to have ads in my apps, so I paid for the pro version. That's literally all it does is remove the apps. But yeah, it's available on iPad and Apple Watch, and it actually fits on those devices. So it's not just like a scaled up size, but it will show you all of your allergies, and then you can put in how you're feeling, so you can sort of start to figure out, okay, so maybe it's not just ragweed that's bothering me. It could also be nettle or juniper or something like that. And having it there on my Apple Watch is nice. My hope, my fingers are crossed, and I'm sending a support request and maybe a link to this video where I'm wearing this wig, so they very much will take me more seriously. I need an Apple Watch complication for pollen count from this app. So I hope that they do that soon. But if you're just looking for a simple way to just look at pollen in your area and see sort of what allergens are out and about, so you can decide whether you want to wear a mask while you're out, this is a great app for doing that.
So I downloaded it on the iPad. It looks great on the iPad.
Yeah, it's really well designed, I think.
So I could see now or the forecast, like you said. Ragweed,
there you go, elm. Ooh, scary.
Do you have elm?
No, ragweed and nettle are what's bugging me or what's in the air for me right now.
And so like you describe the diary, how you feel, your entries. The plus button. So yeah, plus button. I could see no symptoms.
And then it will track.
That's
over time, you'll be able to see, and it keeps track of sort of what allergens were in the air at the time. I downloaded a bunch of different ones after I had this, after I went to the doctor. And so many of them are weather apps that have this as an additional feature. And then there was one from, oh goodness, I can't remember. It was one from like a weather place. And it was so filled with like, hey, can we have your location at all times? And also if we do, we're going to send it off to this person, and that person. And so I immediately deleted the app because you don't need to mark it to me. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. This app is simple. It does the one thing and it does it well. It looks good. It's not crowded. And yeah, I was very happy to drop off that $1.99 or whatever it is that it costs and be able to track my pollen.
My pollen forecast. I love it. That is the problem whenever, you know, these segments end up on YouTube and the people are really happy that their app is being talked about. And they're like, but why is that person wearing a weird hat?
Yeah, you need a little lower third or something or a bug to pop up that says app cap.
Exactly. Yes, we do. Okay, so during the Apple Watch announcement, they briefly mentioned an app that I had used before, but had kind of given up on, called LifeSum. Have you ever used LifeSum?
Oh, it sounds familiar. Tell me about it.
So it's like MyFitnessPal. I don't know if you've ever used MyFitnessPal. Yes. Just a place to like track your calories and your weight and, you know, what you eat. And I thought, oh, well, because you could track what you've eaten on your Apple Watch with a complication. Because I thought that was the thing that the Apple Watch health rings don't take into account. You know, that's the thing that I can't, you know, like I know that I exercise, I know how much my heart rate is up, and but I don't know really, like I'd like to be better about tracking how much I eat. And I've tried MyFitnessPal and it lasts about a week and then I give up. And so I just thought I'd try LifeSum again. And they have a new feature which I really like, which lets you take pictures of your food. Let me show you. So you can actually snap a picture of your food and it tries to guess what your food is.
What?
I know. And it's, so let's see if it works with this. If it knows this is, let's see if it knows what that is.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's an iced tea from Starbucks. And so brewed tea, strawberries, brewed coffee, orange juice, beer, milk, chocolate, cherries. So it's brewed tea.
Wait, but then that was the first guess.
Yeah. And I mean, okay. I could add more suggestions if I want. It recognized potatoes. It recognized carrots, hummus. I wish I had more food to try it on, but yeah, it's like, what if I drink red wine from a cup like that with a straw?
I just kind of want to
press that. Just
like, hey, we need to have a talk.
So I just one mug of brewed tea, It's not exactly right, because I mean, it's asking. I could have put sweetener in there, which it doesn't ask me that. But and I can say yes, done, and then it adds to my calories for the day. And so that's the rest really of it is pretty similar to what you've seen. So I will add my breakfast, and I had some. Let's see, if I had some overnight oats. Do you ever make overnight oats?
Do you put chia in them?
Yes.
Oh, then no, I can't.
You can't? Oh, you're allergic to chia?
No. I can't do the, it's like eating slime. the chia, the way it gels up like that. Oh, gross.
I hear you. I just don't like that sometimes gets stuck in my teeth. But so I had, I don't know why it's not including bananas. I highly recommend. You don't have to put chia in them.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if you, because I'll eat overnight oats, but not if they've got chia. So I was wondering if you did yours with chia I could judge you.
Yeah, you can judge me.
I'm teasing.
And a little almond butter, and then I add it to the, 493 nice. Calories. That was a lot. So yeah, I just like the camera feature.
And that is cool, and I imagine it's going to get better with the A12 Bionic and that new improved neural engine. They'll be able to pack in more models and more information for doing that neural engine sort of guessing what's in front of you. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see some improvements with the camera.
Yeah. Lifesum also connects to Apple Health. So it knows my steps, but I don't know if it actually connects all the way through with my workouts. But it also has a feature where I can add how much water I drink really easily, which is nice.
Oh, nice.
So I can just add one. Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah, that's really cool.
I haven't really drank that much water.
See, that would make me want to drink that, like drink so much water.
It really does. Keep it up. Drinking preemptively before each meal will prevent you from eating too much. So Lifesum is free, but you know, a bunch of ads, and I went ahead and subscribed because I feel like it's like a gym membership. If I pay the $50, then I'm going to use it. And so that was $50 for the whole year.
Plus the little mascot's so cute. Why wouldn't you?
He is really cute. And so, yeah, I think I haven't added the complication to my new Apple Watch, but I guess I can. Let me see if I don't know what complication to take off. Do you use the module?
I use modular the most. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my favorite face. I also use utility. Mm-hmm. Modular is the most. I think I'm going to be a big infograph user when that one, when I get my Apple Watch on Friday.
Yeah. So it looks like the Lifesum complication isn't there yet. So maybe that's something that has to come in the new watch.
It might be. Yeah. I'm curious what it actually, so what does the complication itself show? Just like how many calories you have left for the day?
How many you have left, okay. Which I think would be a nice thing for me to look down and see.
Like, am I going to be able to have this, I don't even know, cupcake, there
cupcake.
You go.
There, for some reason, like, even though there's only, I think, 19 people that work here now, it's always someone's birthday, every day. And
oh, that's handy, except if you're life summing, then it's not so handy.
Yeah, it's there, yeah, exactly, I don't understand it, and now, yeah.
Sorry, there's a pie over my face, and I'm laughing about it. I love pie.
Oh, I would love to keep talking to you for several other hours, but the MacBreak Weekly is supposed to start now.
Renee, you can wait.
I know. Renee's not. I don't think Renee's there. If you want to see Renee, okay. Go check out his box unboxing video of his iPhone, because apparently that's up there. But yeah.
That camera's kind of scaring me. I got to be honest with you.
That one that moves around. I know. I just kept it there. Wise cam.
If it made noises like R2, then I'd be okay with it. But it's just like silently going, you talking to me?
Yeah, because it does, you know, the eye that is always watching you wherever you go. It's suspicious.
See, and I'm Gandalf, so I have to stop it from doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Micah Sargent, what's the best place to follow you and your wig online?
If you're looking for my wig, then you can go to 3BobJoe. That's the number 3, BobJoe. But if you're looking for all the stuff I do online, including my Twitter account, which is linked there, you can go to chihuahua.coffee, chihuahua.coffee. It's got links to all the stuff that I do, podcasts, writing, Twitter, Instagram, etc.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Yes, listen to all of Micah's podcasts, read all of his writing. And I'm glad that you're healthy again.
Thank you. I am as well. My dogs are happy I'm healthy again. It's all good, all great. And thanks for having me here.
Okay, go give him a treat and a pet.
It's time, yes. A treat and a pet.
And go give your dogs a treat and a pet. Thank you for watching. Twit.tv/iOS. Megan at twit.tv for any questions or comments. Leo will be back next week, and you can watch live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, or you can download wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for watching iOS Today.